We're going to look back tonight in some fundamentals, one of the most important fundamentals that there is in the Word of God. It's the fundamental of atonement. Amen? Praise the Lord. We want to look tonight at Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And you want to turn to that. I won't have you stand tonight, but I'm going to read this whole chapter. So I'll just let you rest in your seats. Of course, as you know, when Ezra read the Bible, said the people stood. He stood upon a pulpit of wood and read it before the people, and they stood to the morning, noonday, amen, for the reading of the Word of God. Why? Because it's important to them, amen, in reverence of God. But we sure do appreciate Him, don't you? Amen. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses after death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died." Now you know they offered strange fire, and God took them out. I believe there's a lot of strange fire in the world today. Amen. Amen. "And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement for him, and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his handful of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, and that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with his finger seven times. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. And so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy place until he come out, and have made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord, and make an atonement for it, and shall take of the blood of the bullock and of the blood of the goat, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about. And he shall sprinkle of the blood upon it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he had made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat. and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the ghost shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. And he shall wash his flesh with water in the holy place, and put on his garments, and come forth and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people, and make an atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering shall he burn upon the altar. And he that let go the goat for the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward come into the camp. And the bullock for the sin offering, and the goat for a sin offering, which blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn it in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And this shall be a statute forever unto you, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, ye shall afflict your souls and do no work at all, neither it be one of your own country, whether it be one of your own country or a stranger that sojourneth among you. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that you may be clean from all your sins before the Lord, and to establish it shall be a Sabbath of rest unto you, and ye shall afflict your souls by the statute forever. And the priest whom he shall anoint and whom he shall consecrate to minister in the priest's office in his father's stead shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen clothes, even the holy garments. And he shall make an atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make an atonement for the tabernacle of the congregation and for the altar, and he shall make an atonement for the priest and for all the people of the congregation. And this shall be an everlasting statute unto you to make an atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he did as the Lord commanded Moses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we pray, Lord, that you take the reading of your word. God, you'd bless it. Heavenly Father, and we thank you and praise you for your goodness and mercy this evening and allowing us to be in your house one more time. God, we pray for those that aren't able to be here. God, we pray that you'd just bless them, touch them where they are. God, I pray, Heavenly Father, you'd help us even here this evening. Lord, as we gather together one more time this side of eternity to worship you. God, pray that you'd touch us with your word. Pray you'd establish it in our heart. And help us, God, to take it and apply it to our lives, God, that we might not sin against you, but God, that we'd believe the author of this book, oh God, that it's you and that you're holy and righteous in all that you do. And God, just receive the help that you have to minister to us. God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're doing as you touch in the hearts and homes of every person that's, Lord, that's a part of this church. And God, I pray now, Lord, you take us and use us, God, for your glory. Touch these old stammering lips of clay. Help us not say anything to hurt those you died for. But God, I pray that you'd give us encouragement and God, in the strength, Heavenly Father, from the throne of grace, God, through the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we love you and we'll thank you. We'll praise you and ask all these things in Jesus' blessed name. Amen and amen. All right. So we're looking at the fundamentals of faith, what we need to know. And tonight we're looking at the atonement. If we can get a hold of the atonement, what the atonement is, and we've got a hold of it. As I read in your hearing, you'll probably think it must be pretty important for God to mention it as many times he did in one chapter. And in Leviticus 16, he mentioned it over and over and over again about the atonement, amen, for the cleansing and putting away of sins in order to be right with God, amen. So as we see this and we look at this tonight, we see that the word atonement, has yours got a four in it? I don't know how that got in there. Hey, I do too. The devil. Amen. That four, that shouldn't be there. It's the word atonement means at one-ment. Amen. That's what it literally means, at-one-ment. Coming together. In other words, it means to cover. To cover. Amen. The atonement of God covers the sins. Amen. Takes them away and gets rid of them. Somebody want to read Romans chapter 5, verse 10, 11? Amen. So we see the Bible's pretty good about giving a definition for itself. The Bible speaks for itself. We don't have to add anything to it. So what the Bible tells here is that atonement is that being is that reconciliation to God. Realizing that we're sinners, amen? Bible says we all sin and come short of glory of God. I hope you realize you're a sinner, because if you never realize you're a sinner, then you've never been saved. But if you realize you're a sinner and that you need to be saved, then you can then the Holy Ghost deal with your heart and you can be saved. Without that, you're not saved. You're still lost. But he said we were enemies of God. We're rebellious against God. Let me just stop and say something here right quickly. If we ain't careful, we rebel against the very thing that wants to help us. We rebel against God and godliness and the Word of God. We see people all around us today that's doing ungodly things. Things that we had never thought about doing before. But all of a sudden, we've got this mentality that things are okay. We've got people putting piercings all over their bodies, punching holes all over their face and their nose and their navels and everywhere else. We got people, and it's an epidemic, people putting tattoos all over their body. And it's just a wickedness. It's of the devil. Amen? And, but you can't tell them. They don't see nothing wrong in anything they do. But my Bible tells me that my body is the temple of God, whose temple we are, praise God. And I'm His, He's mine. And I don't think you ought to go plastering graffiti on the house of God. Amen? I think it's wickedness. And we need to be, that you can't tell people. You can't tell these young people. They just don't seem to understand. They're rebelling against God. They're rebelling against everything that God stands for. Amen? That's what's happening. And we're seeing it everywhere. Because the devil is, they're enemies of God. I don't think they've ever been saved. I think if they'd been, you say, preacher, I wouldn't say that. If they'd ever been saved, I think the Holy Ghost of God would convict their heart. Amen. Amen? Amen? But we're seeing it more and more and more, and the world is teaching them that's okay. Mamas and daddies, we need to stand up and say, you know what? That's not right. It's awful. It looks pitiful. And one day when they get old and wrinkly, that ain't going to be a pretty sight. Amen?
Amen?
That eagle on your back's going to look like a buzzard drawn up. That's right. Amen. It's going to look right. It's going to look like it just flew right out of the pits of hell. Amen. That's what we're telling them. We need to tell them the truth. Amen. You say, well, preacher, they'll get mad at them. Well, that's all right. Praise God. It might keep them from doing something worse. Because if they'll rebel that direction, they'll rebel another direction too. Amen. I just add that in there, praise God, because people that do things contrary to the Word of God are enemies of God. We need to be reconciled to God. If we ever get reconciled to God, realize He loves us, praise God. We won't have to do that to be seen, glory to God. We'll have God in our heart, and we won't need nothing else. They're doing all, our young people are doing all these things to be seen. Listen, you young people. Sarah, you want somebody to notice you? Just start living for Jesus in a big way. I mean, start telling your friends about the Lord Jesus Christ. I guarantee you, people will start murmuring and talking about you. You'll be the talk of the school. Amen. You get to bragging on Jesus and what He's done for you. Amen. And praise Him, because one day, praise God, He's going to take you to heaven and you're going to stay just as pure as you can for Him and give Him glory. People won't understand you. You may be an outcast, but praise God, God will get the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I tell you, it just blows my mind what's going on in the world today. And you go to them, you tell them, you show them, praise God, and they just won't listen. And they're trying to bring this stuff into church like it's normal. I will say it's not normal, it's abnormal. Amen?
Amen.
Need to keep it out. Amen. Well, how you do it? We need to be telling them, praise God, it's just not right. Can't approve of it. Amen. But we done preaching to the choir, amen. I know that, but praise God, we got to realize that we need to stand up for something. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You say, well, preacher, they're just going to do what they do. Yeah, but we ought to tell them it's not right.
Yeah.
Amen? I got two youngins too, and they're going to do what they do, but praise God, I ain't going to tell them it's right. They're going to know, praise God, straight up at what they're doing a daddy don't approve of. Amen? Praise God. But they was coming in, they were to get back on His atonement. They were coming, praise God, to cover up, to get rid of the sin, to be reconciled unto God. Had that they might receive atonement. That is that reconciliation that we need. Amen? Number one, the basic element in atonement is, what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see the basic element in atonement is God's love. Amen. The basic element that we have in atonement is God's love. If we can get this atonement down, then we've got it. Because it's the whole essence of salvation. It's the whole essence of our Christianity is this atonement. And this atonement, praise God, was taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Somebody got 1 John 4:8-16? Amen. So He said what's happening is we're dwelling in love. So His love is revealed. Amen. God's love is revealed that we realize that God loved us. Now, what's happening to a lot of the folks that we was talking about a while ago, they're lost without God and they feel like they need something else. They feel left out. They feel disappointed. They feel discouraged. They feel isolated. So they do these things to bring attention to themselves. But when they come to the point that they realize that God loves them, amen? That God loves them so much that He sent Jesus, His only begotten Son, to die for them. They get a hold of something that'll get a hold of them.
Amen.
Amen. And they begin to get that help. It said, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. See, they don't know what love is till they know who God is. Amen. We're trying to have relationships and things in this world without God in it. Amen. And they don't last. You'll fight flat on your face before you get to through the honeymoon door. Amen. Because a relationship without God, there's no love in it. You don't know what love is till you know the love of God. And sometimes I'm afraid we learn that too late. We realize, you know, that a lot of times we put our priorities all in the wrong place, and when we should be seeking the love of God, that makes up, it fixes everything. Amen. It gives that in you, praise God, an essence in you that makes you a different person. Amen. So it reveals to us who God is. So we know, in verse 16, it says, for we have known and believed that the love that God hath to us. It said we've known it and we believe it. See, a lot of people know it. We know, I know God loves me, but do you believe that He loves you? Do you believe He loved you enough to send His only begotten Son to die for you? Amen. So that you might be saved, so you don't have to go to an eternal burning hell. Amen. It's that revealing to it, that His love revealed that makes the difference. Amen. See, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Amen. I want to say, when something as big as my God moves into you, it'll drive a whole lot of that old junk out of you.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say that again. When something as big as my God moves into you, it'll push a lot of that old junk out of you. Amen. It'll become real. It'll become better. Praise God. So it's His love revealed. Not only is it love revealed, but who's got 1 John? Geraldine, go ahead and read 4:10. Okay. Go ahead, sis. Propitiation. That word propitiation is atonement. Amen. So he said it's not that we love God, because we didn't know how to love God. Amen. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't know how to love God. But he said, because God loved us, He sent His Son to be that propitiation, to be that atonement, to reconcile to Himself, so that He could teach us to love Him, so that we could love others around us. Amen. That's what's happening around here. We're learning to love each other, praise God. And as we learn to love each other, we're learning that God teaches us to love Him, and we're learning to love each other. Praise God. One day, I said it the other day, and people looked at me funny the other Sunday morning. One day, we're all going to be in heaven together. Amen. So we might as well just look at each other, love each other, praise God, and get ready, because one day it's going to happen, and you can't do nothing about it. Yeah, well, preacher, if all them are going, I ain't going. Well, if you got that attitude, you probably ain't. Amen. You probably got a little of this in you. Amen. But if we got God in us, and God's our Lord, He's the God and the Lord of our hearts, praise God. Then He's the one that makes the difference in us, and He gives us that love. He goes on in verse 11, says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Amen. If we love each other, Brother Rex, I can see you. Amen. I can see you and I can love you. If I can't see you and love you, how am I going to love God, the Lord who I haven't seen? Amen. But when I love my God, praise God, and God through Him, praise the Lord, He teaches me to love Brother Rex, something happens. Hey, something begins to change inside us and makes us different people. Amen. So He is the source of love. Amen. He is the source of love. That's that atonement. That's what atonement does. He gives us love. Why was that needed? Man broke the fellowship of love between God and man. Man broke that fellowship of love between God and man. In Romans chapter 1 through 3, we see that. And there's no way we could cover all three chapters this evening. But we see what happened in Romans chapter 1, how people begin to forget God. And they begin to make excuses. But He said they're going to stand without excuses one day. Because God loved them and He showed them that love, and they chose to reject God. I believe everybody in the world has heard the gospel at one time. Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, ain't some of the deep, dark jungles that's never heard." Well, I don't know, but when they was going out, praise God, in the crusades, they was going to all these places. They was preaching the gospel. The Ethiopian took it back down to Ethiopia. But now they're saying, well, they just don't know no better. They did it one time, but they chose to reject God. Amen. Amen. Man broke fellowship with God. Man, we're the ones that broke the fellowship. When we were in the garden, we had it fixed up to where we had a relationship with God. But we chose to break that relationship. You know what happened? Pride come up. Amen. Pride got a hold of us and we broke our fellowship with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, preacher. We did it. Man did it. God didn't break it. We did. You and I. Amen. So what's the need? What's the need? The need is a sinless offering. Amen. To get back in the fellowship where we need to be, it would take a sinless offering. So where would we get a sinless offering? The Bible tells us, Brother Rex, that God Himself would provide. Amen. What did He tell Abram up on the mountain? Isaac looked at him and said, "Father, we've got the fire, we've got the knife." He said, "But where's the offering?" Abram told him, said, "Son," said, "God will provide Himself an offering." Amen. And He did in Christ Jesus, praise God. He gave Himself in the precious Son of God to be an offering for sin. Amen. So man broke a fellowship of love between God and man. God. And the need is the need to reestablish that, for that reconciliation, is a sinless offering. God Himself provided. In other words, He gave that. Amen. It was a gift from God. So we see this thing, and we see it. I want to look at the tabernacle now, in this stuff that we was talking about in Leviticus 16, because we can tie it all together there and take it all the way through the book, praise God, and make it all make sense. Amen. Brother Rex talking about how the old and new tie together. You can't have the one without the old. It won't make much sense. But praise God, when you tie them together, they make good sense. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we see the tabernacle, number two. Roman number two, we see the tabernacle. It's symbolic of God's presence with His people. Somebody got Exodus 25 and 8. Amen. So when He's talking about this tabernacle, He said, make me a sanctuary. Not just a place, but a special place. So that I can dwell with them. Amen. So that's what God wants for us. He wants us to realize that tabernacle is a symbolic of God's presence with His people. Amen. God just came to wanted to come hang out with them. I like it when He does that, don't you? I like it when He just shows up and hangs out with us. Amen. You can sense His presence, and it's so real. Amen. Number one, Jesus, Emmanuel. We see the same thing in Him. Emmanuel, what does that mean? Does anybody remember? God with us. Amen? God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. So we have the same essence that Jesus come and manifest in flesh to dwell among us. That God could be with us. Amen. Praise God. Ain't you glad He is? He was God. Number two, He was God become flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. Anybody remember what that says? John 1, 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, if He came and was born in the flesh, dwelt among men, and He was full of grace and truth, then that's all we need. Amen? We talked about the Lord Jesus before we talked about sin last week, or week before last. We talked about the Lord Jesus, praise God, that He was all that we need. He was sufficient for all our needs. Amen. He is full of grace and He's full of truth. So if He's full of grace and truth, praise God, He gives us all that we need in Himself. So the tabernacle, number three, the tabernacle, holy place and a holy of holies. So we see the holy place and the holy of holies. And when you get the holy place and the holies of holies, it lets you just say, holy, holy, holy. Amen? It brings you into the presence of God. That's what we're looking for. It's the presence of God. Amen. Where we come in. See, that first place was the place of the congregation. Number four, the first, in the first holy. The man comes through the priest for a day-by-day cleansing. Man comes through the priest for day-by-day cleansing. Through that first, from the holy place. Amen. In the second, or the holy of holies, man comes through the high priest once a year for atonement. Amen. Once a year. Said it wasn't a perpetual. I read in your reading in Leviticus, God said, listen, tell Aaron, He said he don't need to be coming in here all the time, praise God. This is a holy place. Amen. He said we need to set it up and sanctify it as a holy place. Amen. So he made it where he'd come in once a year, praise God, into the Holy of Holies. Once a year for the atonement. Number six, between the two places was a heavy veil. Between those two places was a heavy veil. Amen. It was symbolic of the inapproachable nature of God because of man's sin. An inapproachable nature of God because of man's sin. We couldn't come to God because there was sin in the camp. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, we got sin in our lives. We're living with sin in our lives. And we know they sin in our lives. We're not going to get a hold of God. And I tell you, that could be a scary thing if we've got sin in our life and one of our youngins or somebody around us gets sick and they need some prayer, quick, fast, in a hurry. I'd hate to know I'd have to get right with me before I could pray for them. Amen? I want to try to be as right as I can, praise God. I want to try to be as holy as I can before I can come into the holies of holies before God and present my supplication to the Heavenly Father so I can get an answer when I need it. We see in Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. It says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy God, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. He says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him to that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But look at verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and a more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Amen. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and ashes of heifers sprinkled on the unclean sanctified to the purifying of flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So we see here that it was through the Lord Jesus Christ that we were given the propitiation, the atonement for sins, and then He began to sanctify us, praise God, through His power. Amen. The power that He had to clean us up. Amen. To make us clean. That's what God's trying to do, clean us up. Get rid of all that old dirty stuff in us. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I ain't that dirty. You ain't that clean either. Amen. We all got a little dirt on us. Wouldn't hurt to clean up a little every now and then. Had to talk to a fellow yesterday, and I was talking to him, and he said, well, preacher, I'd like to come up our church while I'm still able. I said, well, brother, you come on. He said, well, would it be all right to wear my overalls? I said, son, you get you a clean shirt, clean overalls, and you come on. Amen. But he, praise God, I said, you just put them on and come on. We'd be glad to have you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because the outside ain't what God wants to clean up. He wants to clean up the inside. He gets the inside cleaned up, praise God. The outside start looking good. Amen. It won't be so rotten then. You get the inside cleaned up, the outside will be more pure. Amen. Praise God. We're not here to clean up the outside, praise God. When the inside gets cleaned up, the outside will start looking right. That's what worries me about people today. The outside's awful, filthy, and nasty in this world. And they claim to be a child of God. But if they're a child of God, God ought to already clean them up. Amen. He'll bring it to their attention. They need a good clean, scrubbing. Amen. You say, preacher, how can they get that down to old-fashioned altar? Amen. Praise the Lord. He'll clean you up right quick at the altar. Amen. So what's the cure? Roman number three. Jesus is the cure. Jesus is the cure. Amen. He's typified the tabernacle of the congregation. In that tabernacle, it's typified in Christ. We see Him. We see the table of shewbread. Amen. The table of shewbread. Somebody got John chapter 6, verse 31 through 35? Amen. So He said He was the bread of life. So that table of showbread represents the very bread of life, which is what the Bible teaches us, that is Christ Jesus our Lord. He is that bread of life. Amen. Without Him, we'll starve to death. What's happening all around us today, you see people starving to death, and they're running to and fro, and they're getting a bite here and a bite there and a bite over yonder, and they're starving to death when all they need is a good diet of Lord Jesus Christ. That bread from heaven, praise God, it'll satisfy your cravings. It'll satisfy your soul. Amen. It'll give you that'll encourage your heart. It's that bread of life, praise God, in Christ Jesus, our Savior. So we see in the type of the tabernacle, we see the Lord Jesus Christ as that table of showbread, and that Him being that very bread of life, that living bread. Amen. That bread that gives life. Praise the Lord. We see number two, the lighted candle. The lighted candle. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Amen. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world. Why would anybody want to walk around in darkness, praise God, when they got a light? Amen. Praise God. Hey, listen, as long as I got my phone on my side, if I'm out in the darkness, I'm going to flip that thing on because it's got a light in it, and I'm going to see where I'm going. I ain't going to stumble around in the dark if I don't have to. But why would people choose to walk around in the dark? Amen? I don't understand that. When light's there, the life's there, it's in that bread of life, and the light's there. If you've got bread and you got light, praise God, it's about all you need. Amen? If we got that bread of life, praise God, and we got that light that's shining, praise God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is, He said, the light of the world. Amen? And the Bible teaches us that in Him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in Christ. So we have a constant light, praise God, that'll help us if we'll let Him. But we have to receive Him as that bread of life. We have to receive Him as that light of the world. He can't illuminate us if we won't let Him light us up. Amen. But when He begins to light, to give us that light, we begin to receive the light. He begins to illuminate us. Amen. We begin to shine forth. Amen. Gives you that glow. Amen. That godly glow. I'm not talking about that commercial they have either about the people. He said nobody glows. Amen. But we do. I won't say I contradict him. Because you do glow. Those that's got the Lord Jesus Christ living in your heart, the light of life in your heart, praise God, and you got a glow about you. People see something about you, they talk about it, they say, something makes him shine. They see it in you. It's that light of life that's shining, and it shines in you, and it shines in me, praise God, and that's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see Him as that light, even as that candle of the tabernacle. We see the altar of incense. I-N-C-E-N-S-E. Number three, the altar of incense in the tabernacle. And we see that is John chapter 17. Jesus' prayers for us. Amen. As we look at John chapter 17, we see it's called that high priestly prayer, that prayer of intercession. When he began to pray, and he asked the Heavenly Father to glorify the Son, and then to glorify those that had been given to him, the disciples, and then those that would come after. He said, because one day I want them all to be with me where I am. Amen. So we see this altar of incense is the type of the Lord's prayers as He prayed in the garden, and He prayed for me and you, and it went up into heaven, into the throne room of grace. Amen. So we see that the altar of incense was a type of Lord Jesus Christ as He began to pray. And He prayed for me and you. Now, can you imagine that the Lord Jesus Christ could stoop so low as to pray for you and I? Amen? But you and I are who He came to die for. You and I are who He gave His life for. Amen. So He prayed, and He prayed for Himself, He prayed for disciples, and He prayed for you and I that would come along. Amen. Amen. He prayed. Right? Praise God. Because he was trying to get to the throne of grace. He was trying to get that help. He was trying to get that acknowledgement. Amen. He was praying for us because He knew that there was coming a day when He wouldn't be there as our representative in person. But praise God, he knew that there would be a time and a place, praise God, where we'd need all the help we could get. Amen. So He took time to pray. He prayed intercessory prayers for you and I. Amen. Praise God. Not only was it at the altar of incense, but it was also the altar, there was also an altar of sacrifice. An altar of sacrifice. In Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26. I thought I had it marked. Matthew 27, 26. He said, then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. And as they came out, They found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. So they took that altar of sacrifice as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world. He took upon Himself the shame of sin. He that knew no sin became sin for you and I, so that we could be set free, praise God, to worship God, to be reconciled, to have the atonement of God upon our lives. Amen. So that we could be set free from the bondage of sin. Amen. So we don't have to die and go to hell, lost without God. Praise His holy name. He was crucified, praise God, for me and you. Amen. So Jesus, we see Jesus, the sacrifice of atonement. We see Him in Leviticus chapter 16. We see the power of God moving upon it, the power of God demonstrating step by step what was going to take place in the type of the Lord Jesus Christ as He became that would be needed for the perpetuation of our sins, for that atoning work of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have the goat of sacrifice. The goat of sacrifice. It's number one. Reconciling the world to Himself. Reconciling the world to Himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. He says, to wit that God was in Christ. Well, let's go back to 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's being restored. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So he said what was taking place here in this goat of sacrifice was God was reconciling the world to Himself. Amen. He was buying them back. He was paying that price. Amen. It's that atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That price that had to be paid. Amen. There was a fellow said one time, said there was a lady went to the dentist, or to the doctor. She was sick, and the doctor gave her two or three things to try. And after a couple weeks, she was trying to talk to him about the Lord. And she was trying to tell him about the atonement, or more or less about salvation and about the propitiation, that price that had to be paid. Amen? That had to be paid. And he said, well, I don't know nothing about this. I don't believe in none of that. He said, I think if you realize that you mess up, if you realize you've sinned, then all you got to do is just say, God, I'm sorry that I sinned. And he said, it's all taken care of. But he said that sin had to be taken care of by someone, and he was arguing with her. Well, after a couple of weeks, she come back to the doctor, and she said, doctor, that last thing we done, it worked, and so I feel a whole lot better. Amen? He said, well, good. He said, I'm glad I was able to help you. And she said, well, since I knew what I need to do and I did it, then I don't have to worry about that bill. It should already be taken care of. Amen? That's kind of the way we try to look at it if we try to leave out the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We got to look at Him as He took care of the bill. He paid the price, praise God, for our sinfulness. Amen. He's the one that made us better, and He paid the price for the cure. Amen. Praise the Lord. He was the one, that sacrifice, that would reconcile us to the world. Amen. He paid it by Himself. Reconciling the world unto Himself. Praise God. Amen. The goat is sinless. That goat of the blood offering was a sinless goat. Amen. It had no sin. They'd never done nothing wrong. But it had to give its life. The man, type of Lord Jesus Christ, he was sinless. He made to become sin for the people. That goat that had to die was made sin for the people. Amen. We see Christ, number one, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In John chapter 1 and 29, you see that. Very familiar passage. Everybody probably knows it by heart. John 1 and 29. He said, next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. He's the only one. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one. He is that Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Nobody else can. Amen. And somebody can help you to be as good as you can be, but they cannot take away your sin. Amen. But if you don't believe me, you try to get all the people you know to help you be as good as you can, and you'll still mess up. Amen. But God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He forgives us our sin. He was the price of our sin, and He paid for our sin. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He did, ain't you? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. Number two, Aaron carried blood of goats and calves annually or yearly. Amen. He took the blood of goats and calves yearly. Well, they've sacrificed, they offered every day. But he took the blood of goats and calves yearly. Amen. Annually. And Jesus carried his own blood once for all into the presence of God. Amen. Ain't you glad of that? Jesus carried His own blood once for all into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, He said, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In other words, He paid the price once. There's a lot of people wanting to crucify Him again and again and again, put Him back on that old cross, but praise God, He only died one time. Amen. Verse 12, verse 24, it says that, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God, I like this, for us. Amen. Nor yet that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Amen. So Lord Jesus Christ, He sacrificed Himself, praise God, so that we could go free. Amen. He carried His blood and put it on the altar for us, praise the Lord. Bless His name. Amen. That took care of the goat of sacrifice. And then we have the scapegoat. Have that scapegoat. You remember the story? They took that scapegoat and they took it and He prayed over it and He put His hands upon its head. Amen. And Aaron shall lay both His hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, in all their transgressions, in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. Amen. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. He said he took that scapegoat, praise God, type of Lord Jesus Christ. His burial fulfilled the idea of born. He bore the sins of people into the wilderness. He took the sins of those of all of us, praise God, took them out into the wilderness. It's kind of like cast them into that sea of forgetfulness to never remember some against us no more. Amen. That's what Jesus done for you. That's what the atonement does for you. It takes away the sin and it gets rid of them, praise the Lord, taking them out of the way. So when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and we let Him manifest Himself in us, through that perpetuation, through that atonement, then we begin to see ourselves more like Him day by day. Amen. So the atonement is a very important part of it. That's that at-one-ment with God, coming back in line where we're all supposed to be for the glory of God. Amen. So that's basically what the atonement is. breaking it down as quickly as we can in the time that we have. Amen. So if we realize what Jesus done these, we see the types, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have to realize that Jesus Christ Himself fulfilled all these types. Amen. Fulfilled all these types in the law and in the tabernacle and in the offerings. Jesus Christ Himself fulfilled it every bit as that precious Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. Amen.